A Tangible Thing, written by Ranger Jedi 67 and read by Flower Parish. This is a Lord of the Rings fic, rated for general audiences. This is part of the Of Silver Trumpets series. Never before had Boromir felt such pain. He deserves it, he knows, for what he's done, how he'd succumbed to the ring and broken his promise to aid Frodo. Frodo, where is Frodo? Boromir all but begs. Gently, Aragorn replies, I let Frodo go. Relief and shame war with the pain in Boromir's body and heart. Then you did what I could not. I tried to take the ring from him, Boromir confesses, tears threatening. No condemnation meets his words, only gentle reassurance. His heart aches even more for it. The ring is beyond our reach now, Aragorn tells him. The words offer a strange sort of reassurance. Forgive me, I could not see it. I have failed you, Boromir gasps out, pain overtaking him as he speaks. The tears welling in his own eyes are met by the tears in Aragorn's own. No, Boromir, you fought bravely. You kept your honor, Aragorn insists. He reaches for one of the arrows. Leave it, Boromir bids, knowing any attempt is hopeless. It is over. The world of men shall fall. All will come to darkness. My city will ruin. Defiance flares in Aragorn's eyes. I do not know what strength is in my blood, but I swear to you I will not let the White City fall, nor our people fail, Aragorn bows. Nor will I let you die here this day. Boromir wakes with a start, wondering why he dreamt of a Mon Hen. His hand drifts towards one of his still-healing injuries, one of many he's acquired in the last weeks. Every swing of the sword brings pain, but it is necessary. For all that they'd won the Battle of the Pelennor, the war is not over. But Boromir, son of Denethor, is nothing if he is not a soldier, a warrior. He will give his last breath in battle if it buys his people a future free of the tyranny of Mordor. How can he do anything else? It's not yet dawn, but he knows no more sleep will come that night. Still, for all his mind is restless, his body needs all the rest he can bear to give it. The healers had finally tired of him lingering in the halls and had conspired with Aragorn to bid him to sleep in his own bed. He will not defy his king's orders for a matter as simple as this. Boromir closes his eyes and lets his mind wander. It's the best he can do, but he knows it is better than rising and taxing his body before he must. Aragorn is Boromir's king, coronation or no. He's given his oath. He'll make it anew for all his people to know when the time comes, but all of that is for later. In the now, well, with his father's passing and with Aragorn not officially crowned, many look to him now. Boromir is now, for however short a time the office will last, the steward of Gondor. It's a strange thing, to be sure, but it is something else he will bear because he must. His people need it. His king needs him to do it. Never in his life has Boromir shirked his duty. He will not begin to do so now. Finally, dawn comes and Boromir judges it safe enough to rise. He summons a servant and asks for water to refresh himself. He tends to his morning needs and dresses before exiting his chambers. Quietly, he makes his way to the Halls of Healing. The door to Lady Eowyn's private room is open enough that Boromir pauses and looks in. The lady is still asleep, but Éomer is awake, though he has not yet risen from the sleeping mats he'd placed on the floor beside his sister's bed. Boromir does not blame him. Eowyn had woken from the effects of the Witch King only the day before. Perhaps now that she is awake and her rest natural, Boromir will be able to coax his friend into accepting guest chambers. He's not entirely certain it will work, but he will try. The men exchange nods. Do you need anything? Boromir asks quietly, mindful of the still too full halls. Éomer shakes his head. Not yet. I will seek food in a while, but for now I am well. Boromir accepts the words with another nod and retreats. He completes his journey to Faramir's private room. He smiles widely in the early morning light at seeing his brother awake and partially propped up on his pillows. Good morning, Boromir greets, as he settles into the chair at his brother's bedside. Faramir looks him over with a keen eye. You should still be in bed, too. Boromir shakes his head fondly. There is too much to do, Boromir replies, and I am well enough. Frowning, Faramir replies, You forgot I saw the injuries you carried before this battle, and then you took more. Do not lie to me, brother. Boromir slumps a little. I could not sleep. I remained in my bed as long as I could stand, but gave up with dawn, Boromir admits. Worry flashes across Faramir's face. Are you all right? Reaching over, Boromir rests a hand on his brother's arm. Do not fret so, little brother, Boromir soothes. A few nights of ill dreams is no surprise given all that's happened of late. Nose wrinkling, Faramir nods. No, I suppose it is not, Faramir allows. The brothers talk for a time more before Faramir begins to yawn. I should let you rest some more, Boromir murmurs, rising. He looks to the window and realizes it now approaches mid-morning. He hadn't meant to linger with Faramir so long, but neither can he regret it. Faramir huffs. If only you'd do the same. At least promise me you'll get something to eat and not strain yourself further by needlessly skipping meals. Boromir smiles ruefully and nods. I will, he assures. I'm going to find Aragorn, make sure he breaks his fast too. Faramir nods and settles back against his pillows. I like him. Smiling gently, Boromir replies, As do I, little brother. The servants advise Boromir that Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli are in one small meeting room off the throne room, and none of them have eaten. Boromir orders food to be brought to them and heads off. You need not be up so early, Aragorn says with a frown, when he enters the room where his friends stand around a table. Boromir shrugs, but heeds Aragorn's pointed look and settles into a chair. What are we doing? Boromir asks. The very edges of Legolas's lips quirk into a wry smile. Aragorn is standing here staring at these papers, while Gimli and I stand here staring at each other, since Aragorn hasn't shared what he's looking for. Boromir smiles playfully. Sounds riveting. Shame I missed the start. Aragorn sighs and shakes his head. You're here now, Aragorn says. Anything further is cut off by the arrival of servants with the food Boromir had requested. He waves the servants off, assuring them that the four of them can handle plating their own food from here. I have it on good authority none of you have eaten, Boromir says, in answer to Aragorn's questioning look. I will have none say the hospitality of Minas Tirith is lacking. Gimli chuckles at that, reaching for one of the plates and serving himself. Good lad. Legolas offers a small smile and thanks before taking his own portion and tucking in. I admit, I didn't wish to bother anyone too early, and then I got too involved in what we were doing, Aragorn says, as he sits down with his own plate. Boromir inclines his head. There are usually servants about come dawn, and you are to be king, Aragorn. They want to fuss over you a little. I know that's a big change for you. Aragorn grimaces and turns back to his plate. They eat quickly and quietly. The servants reappear nearly instantly when called to clear the trays and plates away. Now, what exactly are you doing? Boromir asks, turning back to the papers scattered across the table. I'm reviewing where we stand after the battle, Aragorn explains. Boromir supposes he should have anticipated that, all things considered. Still, Boromir raises a brow. Anything in particular you are searching for? Aragorn shakes his head, but gestures to the piles of papers. "No," Aragorn allows. "I just feel as if I should know all that I can. How many we lost, how many survived, where the city, where our people stand. If I am to be their king, should I not know all this and more of them?" Boromir closes his eyes and ducks his head. Emotions, thick and strong, well up in him. For a moment, he can barely breathe through the weight of it all. There had been a time Aragorn had been so adamant about not coming to Minas Tirith, when Boromir had been equally as adamant that Gondor did not need him to. And now, now. A strong hand wraps over his shoulder, and another gently tilts up his chin. "Are you well?" Aragorn asks softly. Opening his eyes, Boromir realizes that Legolas and Gimli are gone from the room. "I do not know why hearing you call them our people, it's almost like a tangible thing, Aragorn," Boromir admits quietly. "It hit me more strongly than I'd expected." Smiling gently, Aragorn runs a thumb along Boromir's cheek. "I struggled to accept them as such," Aragorn allows. "But that moment at Imon Hen, when we almost lost you, I realized then that I had to embrace this destiny. Though I will admit, it is easier to accept it with you at my side. I would not wish to face my kingship without you. I am grateful to have won you over, to have your support now." Swallowing hard, Boromir replies, "And it is my honor to serve you for the rest of my days, however long that may be." Aragorn leans down and presses a kiss to Boromir's forehead. "The honor, my friend, is mine." Boromir lets his eyes drift closed for a moment as another realization settles into his heart, another feeling so strong it's tangible. He's in love with Aragorn. It's not as terrifying a thing as it might once have been. Oh, he knows nothing can come of it. Aragorn loves the Lady Arwen. Boromir understands that well. But part of Boromir finds it strangely fitting. The king has finally returned. He will soon take the throne, but he has already taken the new steward's heart. It feels appropriate, somehow. Before he can think any deeper, Legolas steps back into the room. "Gandalf wishes to see us," Legolas tells them. "Duty calls." Gandalf's words are grave. "Frodo has passed beyond my sight." Boromir steels himself. He'd known, as Aragorn had, that this was not over yet. He listens as Gandalf and Aragorn discuss options. He knows what Aragorn will suggest before he does so. There's no other move they can make. Still, he cannot help his amusement at Gimli's response. "Certainty of death, small chance of success. What are we waiting for?" One final move. One final desperate act of hope. Of love. Love for Frodo and Sam, for Gondor and her people, for all of Middle-earth. The end.